Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, what do parrots eat? We'll hear about a comfort dog named Piggy. And Psychology Today explains the five main cat personalities. Which one does your cat have? We will start with, what do parrots eat? This is our portion of the program I like to call Let's Eat. This is from Petya.com. Everything your pet bird eats, from bird seeds to pellets to vegetables to fruit to proteins and more. Today's pet bird food comes in many forms. Pet bird owners feed birds seed, pellets, table foods, soak and cook mixes, vegetables, proteins, fruits, and treats to their birds. So it's easy to get confused about what to feed your specific pet bird. Find all the pet bird food info you need to know with our simple bird food basic primer. And here it is. Seeds. Bird seed mixes are often the staple food for many pet birds and parrots. Common seeds found in bird food seed mixes include safflower seeds, sunflower seeds, millet seed, canary seed, hemp seed, thistle seed, and more. A seed consists of four parts: the germ, the cotyledon, the endosperm, and the hull. What pet birds eat are ungerminated seeds, which have not started growing to become plants. A bird hulls the seed so it can eat the germ, the cotyledon, and the endosperm. Pet birds can eat germinated seed too when you sprout bird seed. Pellets. A pellet usually consists of ground up grains, seeds, vitamins, and minerals that are baked at a low heat and formed into shapes. The different shapes that pellets are formed in can vary from little spheres to pellets that look like Cheerios. Some pellets are colored to appeal to your bird, while other pellets are natural colors, mostly brown. A number of pelleted diets are available to buy. Work with your avian veterinarian to determine the best pelleted diet for your pet bird. Some aviculturists do not recommend feeding dry pellets to lories and other soft bills. Talk with your veterinarian about the best bird foods to feed your soft bills. Vegetables. Many vegetables are packed full of vitamins, fiber, protein, calcium, and other nutrients. Offer your bird freshly washed vegetables such as dark leafy greens, parsley, spinach, kale, collard greens, and Swiss chard. Bell peppers, squashes, like pumpkins, butternut, spaghetti, plus roasted seeds, sweet potatoes, green beans, and carrots are also great for your bird. Mix in legumes, sprouts, and whole grains like quinoa, brown rice, oats with your bird's vegetables. Do not put any sort of dressing on your bird's vegetables and remove the food after a few hours so it doesn't spoil. Protein. Foods high in plant protein are broccoli, quinoa, soybeans or edamame, legumes or beans, nuts, and sprouts. You can also feed moderate amounts of animal-based proteins such as well-cooked unseasoned chicken, turkey, or fish. Unseasoned scrambled eggs are another option, and you can crumple up and cook the shell with the egg. Some birds, like macaws, need extra protein sources like nuts. Good nuts to offer are walnuts, almonds, hazelnuts, macadamia nuts, and more. Feed plain nuts only, not salted or honey roasted. Bird food, fruits. Feed fruits high in vitamin A. Some fruits high in vitamin A content include mangoes, papayas, cantaloupe, persimmon, apricots, and pomegranates. Feed lots of berries like blueberries, strawberries, etc. Fruit is a great visual treat for your bird as well. Fruits are so bright and colorful, your bird will have to give it a try. Cook mixes. Cooking for your bird can be fun. A number of soak and cook vegetable mixes and birdie bread muffin packages are available. Follow the instructions and you can serve your bird a home-cooked meal in minutes. Treats. There is nothing like a treat now and then. Many bird food companies offer different bird treats that you can give your bird. These can be fed every now and then or used when you're training your bird. Bird food portions. How much should you feed? Talk to your avian veterinarian about the specific portions to give your bird. Many veterinarians recommend a quarter cup of pellets per day for small birds and a half cup of pellets per day for larger birds. Follow your bird food package instructions as well. When feeding fruits and vegetables, the smaller the portion you give, the better. If your bird is eating so much food that it doesn't eat its primary food, which should be a pelleted or formulated food diet, it's time to feed less vegetables, fruits, and other items. Put yourself in your bird's place. If you are a cockatiel, a single grape is the size of your head, and that's far too much food to eat for one bird. Feed a half to one teaspoon of fruit to a small bird and a tablespoon of fruit for larger birds. Feed half of a spoonful of vegetables and a half tablespoon of a protein source to your smaller birds. Feed a small spoonful of vegetables and 1.5 tablespoons of a protein source to your larger bird. Foraging. You might know the term foraging from dozens of nature television shows. To forage means to actively search out food, and wild parrots spend up to 80% of their day foraging. This is an activity that takes up a lot of energy, something that can be missing for your bird at home, which only needs to visit its food bowl for a meal. Make life exciting for your bird and help it burn off some energy by providing foraging activities. Sprinkle pellets in a tray of pebbles so your bird has to pick out the food from between the rocks. Put food in a bird-safe cardboard box so your bird has to tear it apart to get to its meal. Hang food off bird-safe branches or wedge it between cage bars or tie it up in paper. There are many different ways to offer foraging activities for your bird. The more you do, the happier your bird will be following its natural instincts. Next, here's a heartwarming story of Piggy, a border collie shepherd mix. This is from the Dodo. It's called Three-Legged Dog Always Stops to Comfort People Having a Bad Day. It's written by Elizabeth Claire Alberts. Piggy is a dog who knows. He knows if you're having a bad day, if you're sick or injured, or if you could really use a friend. This is what Todd Emco, Piggy's dad of 8 years, says about the border collie mix, whom he rescued from the Dominican Republic in 2009. He has the ability to detect when people are suffering and hiding it. Emco, co-founder of Darwin Animal Doctors, an international organization that helps animals, told the Dodo. And he has the ability to bring that suppressed suffering out so people can finally let go of it. Emco believes that Piggy's past is what gave him a flair for helping people. In 2009, animal rescuers found Piggy limping on a street in the Dominican Republic. He was emaciated, covered in ticks, and severely injured. He was hit by a car in the Dominican Republic at only a couple months old, Emco said. He was left dying without any veterinary care from his wounds for a whole month before a high-volume veterinary team visited from the U.S. The vet team ended up amputating the dog's leg. This saved Piggy's life and got rid of some of his pain, but Piggy never forgot what it's like to suffer, according to Emco, and he learned to recognize suffering in others. The first time it happened was in June 2009. Emco and his friend Andrea Gordon had just brought Piggy to New York City from the Dominican Republic, and Piggy was still learning how to get around on three legs. He was skinny, hairless, and barely able to hop for more than a couple blocks, Emco said. But he was determined to gain strength and walk farther each day. And even though it was easier for him to stay on park paths, one day he veered off the trail in Central Park, singling out one person out of the crowd. Emco figured Piggy was chasing a squirrel, but Piggy surprised him by laying down in front of a man sitting on a park bench. Then Piggy placed his paw on the man's shoe, and the man burst into tears. I asked, "What's wrong?" Emco said. And they said, "I just lost my dog this morning." And then the person smiled through the tears and petted him, saying, "How did you know I needed that?" Initially, Emco wondered if this was an isolated incident. "I didn't know what to make of it," Emco said. Clearly, Piggy was special, but who knows what that one incident may have meant. But helping people quickly became a habit for Piggy, according to Emco. On walks around New York City, Piggy approached people having panic attacks, people who were sick or injured, and people recovering from traumatic experiences. He'll pause, his ears will perk up, he'll get the Timmy trapped down a well stair, and then he'll pull me over to the person, Emco said. Usually, after putting his paw on the person, he will continue to stay with them as long as it takes, until they feel better. Piggy even does this when he's out with a dog walker instead of Emco. I would get frantic phone calls from his dog walkers who would say, "You will never believe what Piggy just did in the park," Emco said. I'd reply, "Yes, I know he does that." In 2016, Emco started taking Piggy to schools and hospitals to visit kids. And Piggy proved to be the perfect therapy dog. There is one encounter that I will always think of when I think of how remarkable Piggy is, Emco said. One day, Piggy was volunteering at I Hope New York City for kids with severe brain injuries, and one girl we came across, the social worker said she had a huge fear of dogs, and she didn't have much range of movement either, so don't expect her to interact with Piggy. But when Piggy approached the little girl, something incredible happened. He looked at her and she looked back, Emco said, and over the course of the day, she came closer and she reached up with her arm in a brace and reached out her arm unsteady but determined and began petting Piggy's fur and she grew a huge smile. The social workers began crying. They could not believe that scene for so many reasons. More recently, Piggy comforted an elderly neighbor with a leg injury. Piggy often stops and sits in front of her or other neighbors as he passes their stoop waiting to be petted, Emco said. But today, he already walked a long way, so he was tired. But as soon as he saw Sharon, he summoned the strength to hop up the stoop stairs one by one until he got to her, and then he laid his head on her leg. As it turned out, Piggy seemed to have a good reason for climbing the stairs. Sharon told us that her leg was hurting her badly that day to the point that she couldn't walk even one block before doubling over to clutch her leg, Emco said. Piggy understands that feeling completely. He stayed with her and they kept looking into each other's eyes and her smile grew big before Piggy was ready to continue his walk. But it's not just people who Piggy helps. According to Emco, he also senses when other animals need a friend. He recently refused to leave Central Park, puffing me off the trail again, Emco said. Strangely, he ran past crowds of adoring panickers who wanted to reach out to pet him as he passed. But he ran straight past them and around a bush and up to a small white fluffy dog. He proceeded to give her kisses all over, although she just stood there without reacting at first. When Emco asked the dog's owner if her dog couldn't see very well, he got an unexpected reply. She, the owner, responded with a heavy heart. "This old girl is dying. This is her last trip to Central Park before she goes to the vet for the final time," Emco said. I looked down, and Piggy kept nudging and kissing her until she perked up and began wagging her tail. Once she was perky and smiling, Piggy was finally ready to leave the park. Emco sometimes says that Piggy has a superpower, but he truly believes that Piggy is just doing what dogs do best. Border collies and Aussie shepherds usually want a job to do. It's how they are, Emco said. Piggy is being the ultimate example of a dog. He's looking for good to do and looking for lives to save or make better and teaching us how we could do the same. When he's not busy comforting people and animals, Piggy acts as the mascot for a humane education program run by Darwin Animal Doctors. He's also the main character in a comic book called A Piggy's Tale. You can learn more about Piggy, Support Piggy's Humane Education Program or check out his comic book at piggytail.com. And next from Psychology Today. Do you know your cat's personality? A new study explores the Feline Five. This is by Jessica Pierce, PhD. How well do you know your cat? Is your cat extroverted or shy, impulsive or cautious, greedy, jealous, playful? The study of animal personality or the expression of enduring stable behavior patterns has a long and rich history. And we have robust literature in exploring personality traits in chimpanzees, dogs, pigeons, mice, and even spiders. There has also been some work on personality traits in wild felid species kept in captivity, such as cheetahs. Yet until now, relatively little work had been done in trying to understand the personality of cats we know best, the domestic cats with whom millions of people around the U.S. and the world share their homes and under whose rule many of us live. A study published last week by Carla Litchfield and colleagues in PLOS 1 plus 1 called The Feline Five, An Exploration of Personality in Pets, Pet Cats, or Felis Catus, set out to investigate personality in a large sample of pet cats. The aim of the study was twofold: to create a personality profile of psychologically healthy cats. Most behavioral researchers on domestic cats has focused on behavioral problems of stressed cats, and to explore ways in which this personality profiling could help cat owners and veterinarians improve the care of cats in the home environment. Cats are far more social than most people realize and shape their behavior both in relation to other cats in the home or in the neighborhood and in relation to behavior to the behavior of their humans. Lack of attention to the social and emotional needs of cats may contribute to poor welfare. As Litchfield et al. Note, many urban cats may be suffering chronic stress as a result of lack of control over their environment. Building on studies of human personality and previous research into animal personality, Litchfield et al. Asked several thousand cat owners to rate their cats using 52 personality traits. The results suggest five cat personality factors: neuroticism, dominance, impulsiveness, agreeableness, and extroversion. Each individual cat will score somewhere along a continuum from very low to very high on these five factors. The Feline Five have significant overlap with the Big Five human personality assessments, which are openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. This research will surely be of interest to cat owners and may offer insights that can help us better understand our cats and provide home environments that optimize their health and happiness. Litchfield et al. Offer some specific examples of how personality profiling might help. Cats who score high on neuroticism, a shy cat, may benefit from having multiple hiding places or quiet zones in the house. Cats who score low on neuroticism, bold cats, may, if given access to the outside, be more likely to roam and thus may have increased exposure to diseases such as feline HIV. Vaccinations would be a high priority for such cats. Cats who score high for extroversion, cats who are smart, curious, inventive, may be more easily bored and might benefit from additional stimulation and play. Knowing the normal personality of our cats may also help us track their health. A change in personality, for example, an outgoing cat who becomes withdrawn, may indicate an underlying medical problem. Another possible value of better understanding cat personality is to increase the success rates of shelter adoptions. In the U.S., some 3.4 million cats will enter the shelter system each year. Many of these cats will cycle through multiple homes, and nearly half will wind up being killed. Personality assessment of both a cat and a potential owner may improve the chances that a placement will be successful, For example, Litchfield et al. Note that people who score high on neuroticism may have fewer and less complex interactions with a cat and may not provide an ideal match for a highly social, extroverted cat. Personality assessments might also help improve the chances that a cat entering a multi-cat household will be comfortable and get along with the others. Which personality factor do you think your cats fall under? And what type of cat would fit best with your personality? From HuffPost Weird News, this traveling cat circus has helped save more than 200 feline lives. And this is written by Hillary Hansen. It's tough to imagine anything that could make the amazing Acro Cats, a traveling troupe of household cats that ride skateboards, play musical instruments, and sometimes get bored and wander off into the audience, even more awesome. As it turns out, there is something. The group has helped save the lives of more than 200 kittens over the past several years. The team of cats themselves are all former rescues and strays, Acro Cats founder Samantha Martin told HuffPost. In 2009, about 4 years after Martin started the group, she got inspired to take an even more active role in helping felines in need. She was hoping to adopt a kitten she could train as a new member of the Acro Cats. Her search led her to a crowded high-kill shelter in Chicago. A worker there told Martin that several kittens desperately needed foster homes and that whichever ones weren't housed immediately would likely end up on the Knights' euthanasia list. I took all 12, Martin said, which she called a life-changing moment. Fostering a shelter pet means taking the animal until it finds a permanent adoptive home. Kittens are usually highly adoptable, but animal shelters are often not well equipped to care for orphan kittens younger than 8 weeks old, as they need bottle feeding and overnight care. Plus, animals typically find foster homes less stressful than a shelter environment. Martin didn't end up making any of those kittens part of her permanent cast. She did help find good homes for all of them, and those first dozen kittens started a lasting legacy for Martin and the Acro Cats. These days, Martin, her human assistants, and 17 cats, 16 performers plus Captain Patch, a one-eyed, non-performing feline who belongs to an assistant, tend to travel the country with new foster kittens in tow. The kittens reside in a deluxe, three-level space inside a specially outfitted cat bus. The foster kittens never have problems adapting to life on the tour bus, Martin said. Since they are kittens, they're much more adaptable to new places and experiences. Over the years, Martin and Human Acro Cats team members have fostered an estimated 209 kittens. Most have found new homes, although a few, especially promising ones, have wound up sticking around to become performers. Because Acro Cats tour the United States, their kittens come from all over. We try to partner with a local rescue and donate a portion of the show's proceeds, she said. Sometimes people just contact us. It can be very random. The Acro Cats are also improving feline lives in another way, by proving that, yes, cats can be trained. A lot of cats are relinquished because of behavioral problems, Martin said, and the reason they have behavioral problems is because they're bored. Of course, not all behavioral issues are due to boredom. Owners should check with a vet if their cat is acting in an alarming way, but boredom can often lead to destructive behavior, aggression, and even health problems. They need interaction, Martin said. They need a way to use their brain, some cats more than others. That's where training can help. Martin stressed the importance of using only positive reinforcement. That means no punishments when working with your cats. She uses clicker training, which involves getting cats to associate a clicking sound with a desired behavior and subsequent reward. Your cat may never be ready for prime time, but Martin said teaching your pet some basic tricks is a great way to keep them mentally stimulated and strengthening your bond. She recommended starting with short sessions of around 10 minutes a day. After all, you don't want to overdo it. Even Martin's professional troop has plenty of off time. The cats are my pets, Martin said, explaining that they roam her home like normal house cats when they aren't on tour. People always ask, are they ever allowed to just be cats? They'll always just be cats. I bet you're curious about the AcroCats now and wish you knew more about them. Well, the About section in the AcroCats.com website says, the amazing AcroCats and their human staff are devoted to promoting the mental and physical health benefits of cat training through the use of clicker training, a positive reinforcement-based training method. We also encourage and support feline fostering, rescue, and adoption as we travel across the country performing our entertaining and educational show with our own troupe of former orphans, rescues, and strays, the AcroCats. You can find the AcroCats touring schedule on their website at acrocats.com to learn if AcroCats are coming to a town near you. And that will do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thanks for listening, and please join me next time. And don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.